This particular conversation, I want to be about something I think therapists are in need of, and that is how, when someone needs ongoing treatment, someone comes in to you with a condition, which we have, everybody's here is hired because they have the technical skills to work on a shoulder problem or a rotator cuff problem or carpal tunnel syndrome or a neck problem, headaches, or all these different conditions that people come in for. Keeping in mind that these people are coming in, they're finally deciding to do something. People often don't come in on the first sign of an issue. They might let it go for weeks, months, years, decades before they finally decide they want to do something about it. They come into you, you find issues that are involved, you start to work on them. And my experience has been that therapists are not very good about talking to their clientele about what's going to be required to fix this problem. You've got a condition here that I feel like I have a really good shot at fixing. And then I'll hear a therapist, I'll walk by in the hallway and I'll see a therapist say something like, well, you know, maybe try to get in, you know, a couple times a year and we'll see if we can't fix this. Yeah. I've said in the past that being able to set up somebody on a client with a treatment program involves a couple of things. One, it involves experience on the side of the therapist. In other words, once you've treated, you know, 50 carpal tunnel syndrome cases and you've seen how they progress, how they resolve, you can really, you know, with a lot of confidence go to somebody and say, okay, I've seen these before. This is the general range of situation that we see. Usually it takes a minimum, I'll just share with you from my perspective on the average carpal tunnel thing, very minimal. We need 12 to 15 treatments for this. And over a period, and I like to see, so there's a couple of things we want to talk about. When you find something that you feel like you can work on, how long is it going to take, number one? How many sessions is it going to take would be a something to cover. But also, how frequent should those sessions be? And this is another area where therapists kind of tend to get a little antsy and hesitant. And I think, I tell people, and optimally, if I could have my druthers, and I actually say it this way, I say, you know what, in a perfect world, if you had nothing to do but come in and get treatment, I'd like to see you 3 times a week, like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, to see if we can, for maybe 2 or 3, 2 weeks, maybe 6 treatments, like that. But, you know, if you can only get in a couple times a week, that's good too. If you only can come in once a week, we can make progress, but it's going to be pretty slow. The first thing is for somebody to understand, I think, to be able to be effective in this, is for therapists to be able to feel confidence in their ability to handle a particular situation. How can you recommend something to somebody, a course of treatment, if you don't know if you can help or not? And by the way, that's appropriate as well. I don't know if I can fix this. I don't know. But if I don't know if I can fix something, I'll say, I don't know if I can fix this. I don't know what kind of progress we can make with this. This is a little bit unusual. But let's try 3 sessions and see where we are. If I'm on the right track, maybe in 3 sessions we should expect 50% improvement, something like that. Rarely try to change people's lifestyles and things in terms of when I'm trying to make a change. In other words, somebody's got some hip stuff going on, some back stuff going on. I don't try to tell them, don't work out, don't do this, don't do that, don't do any of these things that may be aggravating this. That's just personally the way I approach it. I like to see if I'm able to make a change in spite of anything that they may be doing.
Sure.
Because I feel like if I change all have them stop all of their activities and things, that's a really artificial way
to see if we're making improvement. Well, this is true, but I think there's a difference between don't work out and let's change the way you are working.
Let's focus for a second on setting up treatment programs. Someone has come into you, they have issues that you feel that you can be helpful with. What do you say to them? How do you help them understand that this is not just a once every 2 or 3 month kind of thing to get resolved?
One of my good examples that I like to use is I tell people, this treatment here, being it's an assessment, I'm able to help you, maybe there's going to be a drastic change. I said, but if you don't continue to hold this course, I said, this is like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. I said, I'm going to be able to make you feel better today, maybe tomorrow, but, you know, in a week from now, it's going to all come back. So if you really want to focus on getting rid of this, you know, I try to tell them, look, we got the package of 5. Get those, space them out however you need to see them, but I would never suggest being longer than a week between.
Okay, good.
I try to get into account like twice a week.
Okay, so we're getting to somewhere. We're getting somewhere now. See, I would encourage you then to set, even though you're very successful at what you do, I would encourage you to be very specific with the client about what they need to do. To get something like, for something like this, I think, and then you tell them what you think. Tell them how many sessions you think it typically will take. tell them how often they should come in as part of the... See, my premise here, this is one of the big points I want to make with this, is that people are looking for direction. And I think that we often fail to give them the kind of direction that they're looking for. They come in, they're looking to you as an expert, and then you turn around and tell them, come back in when you feel like it, you know, that kind of thing.
Here's my take on that. Is that, you know, coming from a standpoint of this is for sure where I'm lacking, because sure, I can tell you come in a week, come in 2 weeks, but I would just be pulling numbers out of the air. I don't have the experience under my belt, and neither do a lot of therapists here, to say I know it's gonna, you to even know where to start. Okay. Does that make sense?
Then I think this is how you got to go about it.
Okay.
All right. How much time do you want to spend with that client?
Right.
How much time? How often do you want to work on this issue?
Got it. I like that. That makes sense.
If you feel that you can help this person, but you feel like you need them to come back 3 days,
yeah.
I didn't quite get all that I wanted to. I'm not confident with what I did. I'm not satisfied. I need to get back in there sooner.
That's
time to come back
exactly.
in sooner.
Okay, that makes sense.
On.
So start from there.
Yes.
I like that.
I normally don't go with the long range.
What do you describe as long range?
Like I don't usually give my clients like, 15 times and we're gonna be good.
Okay.
I go with consistency. Consistency is what I
tend to decide on that.
Hold on a sec, though. Then I would suggest to you that if you would start to do more of that, you'd be more successful. Because people need to be able to see, what am I looking? I think people are uncomfortable with just an open-ended, keep coming consistently, you know?
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. I don't do that. I always tell clients.
Give them a general idea. 15 treatments or whatever, or 10, I rarely do that. I usually go in lots of 3 or 4 sessions. And then what I do is I tell people what they should expect after 3 or 4 sessions. What I'm looking for with 3 or 4 sessions is significant improvement after 3 or 4 sessions. In other words, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50% improvement, okay? And if we do that, let's do another 3 or 4.
Yes.
But it's because I've been doing this for 20 years, it's situations that I am familiar with, like a carpal tunnel thing. I've resolved so many of those and seen them come to resolution that I know we're looking at 15 sessions minimum, and so I can give them that kind of, and
right.
You'll start to develop that as you do this. But
I think that makes sense. Oh, go ahead.
If you have a particular type of client, client A, who comes in and, you know, you can say that 15 sessions is going to help them out, but you get the client B that, you know, you tell them 15 sessions comes out, it doesn't help, they get upset at you.
It did help them, though. We won't always be able to tell how it helped them, but we know for a fact that
it's
much help.
Hold on. This is very good. Hold on.
Well, to finish off the question, yeah. But you get that second person who, you know, doesn't get the point where they're, I feel like this is better, you know,
okay.
And they turn around and they say something like, you know, it's not helping, but they're not doing anything in between the massages.
Okay, good, very good. Hold on. That's a different issue. That's recommendations and adjunctive treatment. That's going to be a different discussion. Now, here's the thing. You've misunderstood me. I'm not suggesting that you say, okay, you've got carpal tunnel, we need 15 sessions.
Okay.
No, what I said was, they need to know a couple of different things. They need to know the scope of the treatment that they're looking at. They need to know how often to come in per week.
Yes.
Okay. If you're not, here's what I tell people. If I have not made significant improvement in 3 or 4 sessions, we're barking up the wrong tree here.
Sure.
Yes.
You're never going to get to 15 sessions and have them upset with you because
right.
you've
sure.
not made any progress.
Exactly.
Okay? My feeling with soft tissue work, my experience over the years with this kind of work, is that I make progress on almost every single session with somebody. Okay.
Yes.
And if I don't make progress on almost every, I don't necessarily, I'm okay 1, we can even go 2, sometimes 3, depending on how unique it is. But if I don't have some significant improvement on that third session, I am going back to the complete drawing board, asking, what am I doing wrong? I'm off track here, I'm off base here, something is
yes.
wrong.
I reassess and I re-examine what I'm doing at all times with my clients. I take notes and I write down what I've told them. Okay, I encourage you to come back 3 times, and 3 times we're going to reevaluate. So, but each time they come back, I'm reassessing. So, how do you feel? How's your pain level, 1 through 10? Well, remember when you first came in, it was 9, and now today it's 7, so we're getting results. I remind them how they were when they first came in and how we've gotten results. Second and third time doing the same thing, reminding them of what their initial goal was, the agenda, which is to get them better range of motion, get them out of pain. And then on the third time, okay, we've gotten 50% improvement. Let's keep going full speed ahead, same time, same amount of time. Let's do that on the second package of three, let's reassess, reexamine.
I must admit, I don't have to spend a lot of time doing that reminding people of the progress that we're either making. My experience is that they either come in and tell me how phenomenal they're doing, or they come in and tell me they're not really
progressing. I think it's important to touch base with some clients, though. If
yeah.
some
I agree.
Clients are being
yeah.
foggy, or they're not even being really present with what's yeah. taking place, they're not even as committed to their improvement as I am,
yeah.
sometimes it does
and
require
I think part of it might be related to my specific, unique clientele that
exactly,
I have people walking into me with a specific problem.
Right.
Yeah,
just,
we don't.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
And that's what I was. Yeah. I was, you know, I understand if I've got somebody who's coming in with, like, I hurt this muscle, fix this muscle,
right.
or
yeah.
I have this particular issue. That's like 1 in 9 people who come in.
Okay.
The
yeah.
rest of them are, I don't feel good.
Okay. Can we go ahead and stop right here for just a second? Then I want to address this issue because this is an important point. All right, this is key really to what I'm hoping to communicate with this conversation. When you find somebody that has an issue, see, that's an opportunity for you to find out from them if they're indeed interested in resolving that issue.
Right.
And I think you've all heard me ask my three questions.
Yeah.
How long have you had this problem? How does it impact you in terms of your lifestyle? Does it keep you from sleeping at night? Does it keep you from being able to lift your kids? Does it keep you from playing golf? Does it keep you from, what things does it keep you from doing? And the third question, do you want it fixed? Okay, would you like to resolve this? So those are issues. As you come upon things like that, my point is, you can convert that client into somebody that just came in for a massage to somebody that's now says, you know what, I would like to get rid of this thing. Nobody's ever asked me that before. That's kind of
right.
my point with this conversation.
Yes.
I'm really trying to give people tools for those for the clients
that have
issues.
Okay.
And what I do is I see that they have issues, that 1 out of 10 or whatever that have issues, and the client says, the therapist says to them, come back when you can, you know?
See not okay. Yeah,
see
that's
what I'm
saying? Not okay.
That's
right.
what therapists are doing, and I'm just wanting.
That's bizarre.
I'm wanting to help give them some tools that they can use.
Well, the therapist is saying that most likely they don't know how to address it. They don't want to. Any therapist that wants to address it is going to say, "Hey, come back next week. We need to get this
no,
fixed and resolved."
No, they're not.
Because I do. I'm always like, I want you to come back in 2 days after what we've just.
Okay.
Did, especially if I'm not confident in what I just did, and I know that we have more time. I try to go next time you book your appointment. Go for an hour and a half,
okay.
2 hour appointment.
Therapists have the ability, they see a problem, they see an issue, they feel like they can help this person, but they don't know how to, some of the terms are manage the client, manage the patient.
Sure.
They don't know how to do that. They don't know what to tell the person. They're afraid. This is another part of the conversation I want to get to. So often, therapists make recommendation based on their own, I say their own pocketbook,
mm-hmm.
their own bank account.
Sure.
Oh, I'm not going to recommend all this treatment because they probably couldn't afford it. I would hope that you would never do that. That you would always make your recommendations based on what you feel is clinically necessary for that client. Not ever base your recommendations on what you feel the client will or will not be willing to spend or be willing to afford. That's a very, very important concept. That happens all the time.
Sure.
All the time. Where you make, where you don't make recommendations because you feel like they can't afford it or you don't want to. They'll be mad at you if you ask
that's
them to spend money.
That's someone who doesn't value what they do then.
No, absolutely.
Well, that's also, I mean, I've been there where it's not that I've, not necessarily in that mindset. I will mm-hmm. still say what I clinically think, mm-hmm. but I have to, I feel like I've got to spin it hard.
That or at the end of it, just say, if there's, you can make your recommendations and then I do that. This is what I do. I make my recommendation. And I say, if finances or other things are a problem with that, do whatever you can do.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I think it's important to say, I mean, I don't, when I'm talking to my clients, I'm telling them, I want them to come back. I'm speaking from my own perspective. I'm saying, I want you to come back. I want to work on that again, but I'd like for you to just come back next week. And they're usually like, right on, I'm here.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
just they agree with it. They're in agreement instantly because I've told them what I want, what I need to help them.
So
I don't even talk about their finance because that's not my issue.
Yeah,
you know, they go home and
that's better. That's better.
I need to
bring
that
up.
I need to ask you for when I want you
that's
to come
better.
Back and what time I think that you need to spend an hour
so,
and a half.
So
yes.
my point then, I'm just saying that if you're already doing some of that, which is way beyond what a lot of people are doing, I would just encourage you to, based on your own experience, give them some idea about typically what these kind of things often need in terms of total treatment, and then how often per week you'd like to see that. That's,
yeah.
that's kind of the
right.
idea.
Now, I always remind them of rebound time. You know, pay attention to what, you know, what feels better, what doesn't feel
mm-hmm.
better, so that when you do come back in, you know, my thing is, you know, 5 days to 10 days is, you know, a good time.
Per?
Depends on what it is. It depends on what it is, though. If it's low back, and when you get up off of a low back treatment, you're immediately going
to
feel.
This is what I see a lot of therapists doing. It's the 5 to 10 day thing, okay? Yeah. And I would just say to you, try and see what happens with real serious situations that really are involved. I use the word serious, significant situations that people really you perceive that they're really motivated to resolve the situation. Try treating them every other day and see what happens. I'm telling you, you'd be amazed at the progress that you can make with every other day for 6 treatments. Unbelievable, right. Unbelievable. And I feel fortunate that I've had the opportunity to do that because so much of what I did in California was all insurance work. So people, it was never a consideration how much money they were spending. It was just, they were off work often. And so I got to see what happens if I can treat somebody every other day for maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 treatments. It's amazing what can happen. Now I've got the thing resolved in 10 days and you've just now seen them on the second time. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Big difference. Play with that. Play around with that on people that you perceive would be open to it.
What I do oftentimes is I'll say, you know, look, like as I'm finishing the session, 2 minutes till I'm done with the client, I'll start backing out of the session and say, all right, so we really need to spend next time more time on your hamstrings. We didn't get a lot of that work done today, so you're going to have to come back in 2 to 3 days and let's get those hamstrings knocked out. And they're just like, got it. They know the plan. I'm reaffirming to them what the next plan is, and they're going to leave here knowing that, oh, I got to go get the hamstrings.
I'm going to say this one more time because I just think it's so valuable, and you don't have to agree with me on it, but I would just say that what would have made something like that more powerful is for you to give them a broader picture about what they're looking at overall. That this is what I think your body needs. This is the kind of scope
exactly.
that we're looking at, and then this is the smaller picture.
Yeah, the assessment. Yeah, that's
so
where I'm
always
reminding
them. So you're talking about
increasing
your value gap to your client.
I'm talking about you being the kind of expert to this client that they're hoping that you'll be.
Okay.
Let me stop the conversation for just 1 second and say this. I think, on my humble opinion, therapists don't have a clue as to what they have in their hands. You guys have the most amazing tool that you can ever imagine. Meaning soft tissue work, massage, body work. I would put you, for the conditions that I'm about to name, I would put you up against anybody. And I'm talking neck pain, back pain, headaches, wrist pain, any musculoskeletal problem, shoulder, elbow, knee, leg, hip, carpal tunnel syndrome, radicular pain down the leg, radicular pain in the arm. I mean, that encompasses a whole lot of people if you think about it.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. You guys are the treatment of choice for that. There's nobody that can outdo you. There's not a medical doctor out there that can outdo what you do. Now, among those people that I just mentioned, yeah, there's going to be a couple disc herniations in there that they're going to need surgery for. There's probably going to, some of the carpal tunnel has gone on so far that it's beyond you now. Now they do need surgery. But those are going to be little tiny isolated pieces. You, for the most part, some of the headaches are going to be aneurysms, yeah, that's true. But for the most part, 95% of all those things I just mentioned, you are the treatment of choice. And you guys, I don't mean you in particular. I mean therapists in general don't have a clue as to what they have. They don't have a clue that they're the kings. A physical therapist can't even touch what you can do for the most part, okay? The occupational therapists, the chiropractors don't have a chance with you.
Right, we're not being
that's why. That's why chiropractors won't have massage therapists in their office because their clients all want to just go to the massage therapist and there's a jealousy thing. I'm telling you, that's it.
Yeah.
So you guys have it. You guys have the tool of the 21st century. There's no drugs, there's no surgery. It's unbelievable what you can do. And I'm not necessarily pointing to you, but part of why therapists don't get the job done and things on these, I mean, I am talking about the 1 out of 10, you're right, okay, that have specific issues that need to be dealt with. Because a lot of people just come and they just, you know, massage me, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not, I'm not talking about those kind of people. So, but what you need to learn how to do if you want to take, and that's kind of what this center is all about, is a therapeutic level of massage. So when you have those kind of situations, I'm asking you and encouraging you to take the bull by the horn, so to speak.
Yes.
Take control of the situation. Tell the client what they need to be able to do to be successful with you. And don't hold back. Let's take a minute here and just talk about to help someone like Meredith. Let's just take a couple conditions. Headaches. I like to work, you know how to resolve headaches probably. You
right.
know what to do. Well, I mean, My experience has been that in 4 to 5 sessions, we've got it handled. Headaches are done. If it's a musculoskeletal-based headache, if it's a hormonally induced headache, if it's something to get on their period every time, that's a whole different ballgame. But my experience has been that about 90% of all headaches are musculoskeletal-based. Then I can get rid of them, and I give myself 4 to 5 sessions for that. But it's 50% of them are better in 1 or 2. I don't tell people that, because that's another issue. That's another little trick here. Don't tell them the best case scenario. Like, I often can get rid of headaches, really debilitating headaches, like in 2 to 3 sessions. I'm not going to tell them. I'm going to give myself an extra couple, you know?
Yeah.
4 or 5, okay? 4 or 5 sessions would be a good overall thing. And to tell them, you know, depending on your situation, your time frame, I would try to get in a couple times a week if you could for 2 weeks, say. And then maybe that third week come in, that kind of thing. Arm and hand pain, depending on what you find, what the problem is, you know, I tell you, anywhere between, on these serious kind of more serious situations, anywhere between 6 or 7 or 8 on the one side and maybe 10 or 15 on the other, somewhere in there you're not going to go too wrong.
Okay.
And tell them that every third treatment we're going to kind of assess where we are, because if we're on target, we will have made significant improvement from every third session. And here's what I will often tell people: we'll keep going as long as you're improving. You know, we might find that with carpal tunnel, we might find that with 7 sessions you're doing better. Well, if it's not resolved, we'll go another 3 and see where you are. If you've increased greatly on that third, we'll see where you are, and if there's still room, we'll do another 3. We'll keep doing that until you stop improving, or until you reach a plateau. I'll tell them that. Okay. What else?
I like that. See, I guess I never really, you know, in my opinion, for myself, I've really focused, you know, because I was in sales for so long, you know, it's always about long-term sales for me, you know. How many, how long can this person come and see me? I've got people who've been coming to see me every week for 2 years.
Right.
And they don't really have anything, but that one, you know, because I have the Dr. Brian,
right,
who sends me 40 people a month that have, you know, something going
on.
That's
amazing.
And he's got Dr. Horner now, he's sending people to me too. And he sets it up when he comes to me, or when he sends these people to me, and he tells them, I don't know what he's going to do to you, but it's going to just be effective. He's so outside the box with a lot of stuff that he does. He does stretches that I've never seen, or he puts pressure in a place and it makes you twist your arm in a weird way, and then when he's done it, you feel better. So when they come to me, they already have that, you know, and I guess that's my 1 and my 2 in 10 that I get, mm-hmm, are those type of people, but they're being referred to me by chiropractor. Mm-hmm. And I get in there and I do what I gotta do, you know, and basically I guess I never really sat there and thought about it from your point of view, because he's already doing that, you know. He's sending them to me with with their expectations of coming back multiple times in a week or multiple times, you know, to get this resolved. And
Let me share with you a bias, and you guys tell me if you think I'm on track or not. My suspicion is that those 2 that you're talking about, those mm-hmm, sent from chiropractors, I bet there's another, and among those 10, there's another 2. And this is where therapists are missing the boat. This might be the most valuable thing that I say during this whole conversation, and that is, when you have an issue, somebody, you know, okay, there's going to be people who say, I'm just tight, work it all out. But then when you get those few, a couple that say, you know, it's shoulder, it's this, it's this, it's this, it's this, I think what therapists do is they say, okay, and they start working on it, and they work on it, and then they go on to the thing, and then they send them out the door. They never even stop and think, I wonder if this guy would like to get this thing resolved.
Right. I don't know that they don't stop and think, because I'll tell you, I think that on a very frequent basis. But I find myself trying to find an equilibrium between Let me keep you in a relaxed state. I get a lot of clients who don't want to speak the entire massage.
Right.
So how do I, you know, and I'm a very, you know, don't speak unless spoken to type
sure,
of,
no, that's good.
You know.
Well, that's good.
So you have that,
right,
and then I come across something where, okay, so how do I approach, how do I approach that conversation? I don't have
that's
the confidence
good.
To approach that conversation. I have the conversation in my head. I have the, okay, I want them to come back here, here, and here. But I don't ever have a conversation with them because I feel like they're in a different mind state.
Okay, thank
ask
you.
Them.
Thank you.
I know, and that's just it. I'm just realizing now.
But I think Jessica is really good at that. So you tell us.
Yeah.
Speak.
When I see something that I want to work on, I see something that they're not, they don't acknowledge, or they don't even care to get there with it. They don't care to acknowledge it.
Right.
I acknowledge it, and I tell them, I want to work on this. This is going to greatly improve your situation. And with my confidence, it's usually my confidence. I'm like, hey, this needs to be resolved. You're going to benefit from it.
Right. So it's really
let's
just
work on this.
That, what that is right there, and I learned that when I worked with JCPenney's and Foley's, and it's sales. And it's really the mindset you have is that you don't have anybody purchase anything from you unless you ask them.
Right.
You know, when I did second mortgages for people, you have to ask them.
Yeah, it's just
I'm
not going to provide a service that they don't necessarily know.
See, I would take a different approach than Jessica. It works really good for her. My approach would be to ask. It would be at the end of the session, I would leave a couple of minutes for, I found this, this, and this. Is this something that you want to try to resolve? Does this affect your life? The three questions. Is
right.
it something that you want to try? If they tell you yes, they do. If you perceive that it's been I didn't elaborate on those three questions, but if you say, how long have you had this, and it's been a long time, well, then there's more of a chance that they might want to invest some time and money to get it taken care of.
Yeah.
If it happened yesterday, the chances are little or smaller than they would. How does it affect your life? If it doesn't affect their life, chances are not great that they're going to want to invest a lot of time and energy into resolving this. Even though you perceive it as an issue, they have to perceive it as an issue. Mm-hmm. So it has to be the optimal question, and ways to answer the question would be, yes, it's been there for a long time. Yes, it affects my life in all these different ways. And the big question, yes, I do want to get it taken care of. So that's what I would do. At the end, towards the end of the massage, maybe as you're getting ready to wrap it up, you use the term, what do you use? Working out of the massage, what did you say?
Backing
out of the massage. As you back out of the massage, I think it'd be appropriate for you to say, to ask in some way, shape, or form, cover those three questions.
Okay.
Well, a lot of clients don't, this is my problem with that. A lot of times, I mean, I do that with certain clients. Clients that are aware of their bodies, clients that care about what's going on with their bodies, I ask those questions. Mm-hmm. But there are those clients that they have arrived to a place in their life where I'm their wellness therapist. They are going to come in on a normal basis, get massages, mm-hmm. and it is my job to mm-hmm. point out to them what's going on with their body, educate them that they can make improvements,
yeah.
and then you know encourage them to increase the frequency if they need to.
It works for her.
Yeah.
It works for her. It works very well for her. That's her approach. I would take a slightly different approach, and then I would say, I found this, 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 and this. How long have you had it? Does it affect your life? And you want it fixed? If so, I'm your man, and I'll tell you what to do. If they answer in the if I perceive there's not an interest in it, I just move on. I'm off to the next person.
See, as soon as my clients put a block up, as soon as they are like, no, it's fine, mm-hmm. I penetrate through it.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Like, maybe
I don't.
It's fine.
I don't.
You know, I penetrate.
See, I don't have the confidence to do that at all.
That's what gets
so
me
not
all
in
my
me.
Clients. That's the people that need the help the most.
Well,
the
clients
are scared
to be told
what
to do.
Right.
But I don't feel like it's my place because they're coming to pay me to do this. Because it is still
don't know
service.
That anything can be done. There's just, if you didn't even know that something could be fixed, if you didn't know the service existed, you would never look.
Oh, but I'm big into that. That's one of the premises of this whole conversation, is that we as therapists need to tell them something can be done for this.
Yes, okay. I find
but my approach
everyone.
Is, do you want it? Do you want it? That's my approach.
Do you want
it? Fix? She's a little different in the way that she approaches it. I think they're both very valuable.
The moment that a client says to me they're scared, they don't want to, or they don't think anything's going to happen with it, is the moment that I'm there to say, to reassure, yeah, you can do something about this, and the moment they get a tab of results, which they will, they're like, wow, I had no idea, let's do this.
Just to put this in perspective, if you were to go out today and get 100 massages, you can't do it today, over the next 100 days, get 100 massages, and if you had all kinds of issues in your body, how many therapists do you think would do what we're describing to you?
Oh, very few,
maybe
to
two.
Be honest.
One or,
yeah.
two, one or two, one or
maybe.
Two.
Maybe.
One or two.
Maybe.
One or two, that's exactly right.
right.
One or two. This.
I got a massage yesterday. She didn't do anything
well,
to ask
let me
her.
Ask you a question. You weren't trained here. You weren't trained here.
Correct.
Were you trained here?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
she was
in
trained
San Antonio.
In Texas.
Yeah.
In Texas.
Question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here. The way that they train you here in Texas is they really discourage what you're saying.
Oh, I know.
In their training. So you know you're forced into this little small box, mm-hmm. and the reason they do that is because all the associations with these doctors and podiatrists and all these other chiropractors here, they really want you in this little small area here because they know that when you spread out here, they lose
money. I don't think it's the other people. I think it's the limit. I think it's the narrow-mindedness of the people that teach. Yeah. They don't even want to teach. They don't even want to teach you therapeutic. They don't even want to teach you therapeutic level stuff before you get your license. You know,
and you really, you really have
it's
to.
Just it's just a lot. Very basic.
It's about learning. It's about coming back and spending that money there.
Yeah.
You know?
And then step out of the box and blaze through the trails. Your clients want help.
Being that I had so many injuries and I used to fight and I used to do all that other stuff, I think I learned a lot of stuff that I do because of, you know, I was influenced by people who were trained in other
places. Go ahead and get that on tape again.
Okay, blaze through. Your clients want help, give it to them. Find where they need help.
So that's what I'm hearing, at least from my standpoint, is, okay, yes, I don't have the experience, but I have the tools. So I just need to
use step three.
Outstep my boundaries.
Yes. It's a matter of
don't be scared. Just go.
Just do it.
Let's do some summary here. Share with us more about what you're taking from this. Let's wrap it up. Tell me what are you taking from this?
Mostly, I think where I'm lacking is the confidence, because I understand. I mean, I've heard you talk about the three questions and the concept, which I think everybody has kind of come to agree on, that the let's assess in small treatment sections. You know, let's reevaluate. Let's keep moving on that way. That makes sense to me, and I imagine to almost anybody who's a therapist. Mm-hmm. But I think my hold up I'm finding is the confidence then, or the, it's really confidence.
Here's another idea.
Being confident in your conversation.
Well, I will tell you this.
In my conversation to my client.
With your word confidence. I've worked on some people that you've worked on before, and they constantly tell me how awesome you are. And they,
same here.
She does this, she does that, and I'm like, well, I don't do that.
I want to give one idea here, though.
But see, it's not a confidence in my work. Yeah. It's a confidence in
your ability to make them believe in your work.
Okay, I think it's important here to, first off, assess what you know about yourself. Assess what your capacities are.
Right.
Be confident about it. And know that your clients have come to you for a reason. And find out the reason and do it.
Mm-hmm. That's
accomplish
my point.
The job.
That's my point. They come here for help and then we don't give it to them. That's my point.
Yeah.
I don't mean we. I mean just we in general.
Yes.
That's my point. That's why we're doing this, is because I see that happening. People come here with these issues and they get on their table and we find things and then we don't give them the leadership that they
focus.
Need.
Don't lose focus. Stay on target with and step beyond your own comfort zone to give it to them. If that means your client's laying sideline and you don't usually do that work, do it. If you know it's going to help them, step out of your comfort zone and do it.
Well, Dr. Shule, I think you told me something once that really helped me out. I had a client that I worked on 20 times and came back with something, that I didn't agree with that she said, and you told me that we have, as therapists, we have the ability to really drastically affect somebody's body, and that we live by the sword, we got to die by the sword sometimes,
Right.
And you can't take one incident and have it dictate everything that you're doing. Just like when you get that one person that comes in that's really needing your help, if for some reason they don't listen to you, that's not your fault. You just move to the next person and say, this is what I think you should do, and if you do this, we're going to be able to measure the results quickly.
You're going to make a mistake. You might just pick 10 clients this week and try a hardcore system with them. Put it into effect, and you're probably going to double fold. But you might make a mistake.
Here's another idea that would be easy, and that is you just simply tell the truth.
Yes.
Just simply tell the truth about what you're finding.
Right.
Yes.
Tell the truth and have confidence in your
integrity.
Ability.
And see, this is not the confidence and the ability. I know I have the ability. I do it, but I don't have the conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I will do the work without having the conversation.
State that you're confident that you can help them.
Yeah.
And that's the best truth.
Because affirmation. You got to have those affirmations. You want to be doing the right affirmations.
Yes.
See, it's funny you say that, because in the video you have for careers in one of the rooms, you actually have the book that tells you the
secret.
The secret.
Yeah. Okay.
Give it away.
Let me ask Michelle, what have you taken from this far? We got to wrap this up.
Oh, I've taken in so much.
Just to summarize some of the things you've...
One thing that I'm taking in for myself is that sometimes I find myself not wanting to push it. Like, I'll come in, I'm just like, whatever, because I get tired of hearing no all day long. That I'm like, the next client that comes in that's probably going to be my yes for the day, I'm like,
When you say you hear no, what do you mean?
Because you get so many no's, the money issue. Oh, I can't afford to count, I can barely do this once a month. And I'm like, that's why you're like this.
Okay.
And you're so happy to be relieved for right now. But
that's not going to last after tonight. You know, tomorrow you're going to start going right back.
But there's answers to that problem too.
But I get tired of the no. So after like the 10th one, and it's my third day here, that I'm just like, I find myself sometimes going through the motions. So what I'm listening to right now and learning is that I'm going to get past the no.
I can say, I think
treat
you've got
each client as their own client. She,
yeah,
what she's right. Just yes. Something, but I have something as well. I would just ask you to learn to be unattached.
Yes.
Learn to be unattached to their response.
Yes.
Don't be attached to it. Mm-hmm.
Be attached to what your confidence level, what your mm-hmm. capacity is, and what you can give to that client, and know that
it's okay.
Yes.
If they say no,
very confident in what I do. Yeah. I'm very passionate about it.
Don't be attached to their response.
Mm-hmm. To the money thing, especially.
Because
you hear that so much after a while. Okay. You're like, and I don't think about their pocketbook.
Just say that when they say no, just say it's all good.
I think so.
Whatever you need to do.
I think some people tell you that because they want you to do it all right there.
Yeah. But you feel like that. I feel like.
Anything else, Michelle, that you've taken from this that you'd like to? It's okay. I mean, whatever. Just anything.
Wow. I'm gonna up my game. I'm gonna up my step.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Definitely. Yay.
I think that I'm already doing well, but I know that there's so much more that I can do.
Okay.
And so I learned a lot in this meeting about don't hold back.
Okay. Anything that you've taken from this?
Yeah. I actually, from listening to you and everyone else that's been on the talk, I feel like sometimes I'm selling myself short.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes I'm selling my clients short. If I don't sit there and really think about why I'm doing what I'm doing, you know, I love making people feel better.
And thank you for saying that, because this isn't about us developing more business. It's not. Yeah. I feel like we're cutting our clientele short by not providing that leadership.
Listening to what you said earlier about, you know, especially your comment where, you know, I'm working on for the second time and you've already got them fixed. Why should they suffer for a longer period of time if I can help them get to a point where, you know, they're better faster? Why not offer that to them?
If that's what they want. You're right.
I wouldn't take my car into a shop and have my transmission worked on in a year when I need it tomorrow.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think Garfield's idea of leadership is really the key word here. Mm-hmm. And so if we as therapists can learn more about what it is to lead someone through.
I think that we need to have more of this right here, Dr. Scholl, so that all of us.
Well, that's why I'm going to give everybody a copy of this. You guys are okay
because
with that?
All forget at times, and you know, you step back and you forget, like,
the 7 habits of highly effective leadership.
Well, this is the reason that I work here, is because you're willing to sit here and do this. I mean, you know, when I was on my own, I was like, you know, and I really felt that way.
Right.
And when I'm here, I've had more confidence because I'm not able to help you, then
somebody knows somebody is here.
Okay, clients might tell you every reason why you shouldn't help them. That's their job. They're going to work against themselves. They wouldn't be screwed up unless they were doing that to themselves already. It's your job to find out what you can do and push them to help them.
Mm-hmm.
It's your job to do
it. See,
don't find a reason not to do it. Just do it.
I don't like the word push them. I like the word guide them better.
Lead them if you
want. I'm more of a person who I think also the biggest thing is for them to have release some way.
And I'm more tell them what to do.
I get a person who comes in.
I am.
And they got that stoic face and they're just angry at life. And then when they leave, they're laughing. I feel like I've done something.
And I think there's room for different styles here.
Absolutely.
Anything that you wanted to say? Is that anything that you've taken from this that you'd like to emphasize? Anything?
I think that really a lot of therapists could just really step out of the box and just blaze a trail, and clients will respect wacky trailblazing people, and clients want a confident therapist, and clients want to feel safe with a therapist.
In summary, then I would like to say that what I've taken from this is to tell the truth about what you feel that they need, and then not be attached to what their response is.
That's great. I love that. That's great.